Welcome to Package, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Kapsanis.
Hello again and welcome to another edition of Packaged, Australia's best liquor podcast. Today we are focusing the lens on one of Australia's well-known beverage companies, Carlton United Breweries, better known as CUB. CUB has several well-known brands in its stable, including VB, Great Northern, Asahi Superdry, and Carlton Dry, just to name a few. After announcing the appointment of Danny Cialone as CEO of CUB late last year, Danny took the reins in February and has hit the ground running. He's been spending a few days in sunny Perth this week and joins me in the studio now. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, really great to be here, Peter.
You've certainly carved a reputable and distinguished career in the beverage industry, previously spending 17 years at Diageo and then as CEO of PepsiCo Oceania. You start this role on the back of a two-year pandemic, scores of closures in the retail and hospitality industry, and now the market faces the onset of rising interest rates and inflation. So that's a challenge for the best of us. So how do you convince people to buy your product, grow the portfolio when people's disposable income is shrinking every second?
Yeah, no, look, great question, Peter. Look, number one is just intimately get to know our consumers, understand what they want, what they need, what choices they're looking for. And that will happen across with, you know, the value end of the categories right through to the premium end of the category. So number one is understanding the consumers. Two is get closer and closer to our customers. Understand their strategies and their initiatives, their challenges and their opportunities so we can deliver solutions that resonate for them, but more importantly, make a difference to the consumers, the customers out there, their customers. Look, a couple of things that we will look to sort of adjust, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Our strategy will remain consistent, but number one is how we think about pack and price architecture to deliver solutions across all price points and making sure that we've got the right level of occasions covered with the right portfolio, meaning do we have the right initiatives in place, the right activation in place in both the on and off premise to earn our customers' commute, to earn a portion of that disposable income that they decide to spend on entertainment. So we're really doubling down on that. We're doubling down on making sure that through event creation or through the activations that we drive, that it's actually something that they're interested in spending that smaller portion of disposable income.
Is it sometimes a better case of less is more though?
Oh, look, I think it's both, to be honest with you. It's just really being deliberate about what we're trying to achieve, knowing that, you know, during COVID, what we saw is the retail part of the world expanded as people were staying at home. Mm-hmm. There was more occasions created at home. What we're seeing now is the marketplace has opened up. People have sort of spread their occasions back into on-premise restaurants, bars, hotels, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're going to get a little bit more choiceful. They're going to be a little bit more price conscious overall in general. But what we typically see, Peter, is, and I've experienced the Asian financial crisis when I was over there. We've all been through, you know, tough financial moments in industry and the economy. What we typically see is the value end gets stronger. The value end of the category grows. Mm. The premium part of the category continues to grow. And there's always a little bit of tension in the middle. So we've just got to be conscious of how we operate in that environment, making sure, again, that we're listening to our consumers, our customers, and bringing solutions to them that actually warrants them and warrants their entertainment and disposable dollar.
On the flip side, and you touched on it just a moment ago, the world is opening up. Our borders are opening. Over here in the West, we're no longer Fortress WA. So how does the company leverage off this, the fact that, you know, people are flying and travelling again and, you know, people are commuting not only across the nation but across the world? So I guess that is a plus for you and your market.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great for the industry, and I genuinely mean it. It's great to see bars busy. It's great to see nightclubs going again. It's great to see, we're just over at Crown Metropole, the buzz in the foyer, people sitting down having coffees. It's just overall fantastic for the industry. It's fantastic for employment, albeit there's some staff challenges out there for a lot of our customers. Look, the way we see it is we need to be available. We need to show up for our customers in the way they need us to, and ultimately be in a place where we are bringing the right initiatives to the table that helps our customers enjoy their moments, their occasions that they're going through every day, every week.
Okay, I want to pick up on that and expand if we can. You've been quoted in a recent article by our good friends at The Shout, being a more effective trade partner and getting more bums on seats, so to speak, onto the premise, on the on-premise sector, is one of the goals you've highlighted in that recent interview. So how can CUB generate more traffic or patronage in pubs and venues all around, or even in our liquor stores?
Yeah, no, good question. Look, number one is, and I'm deliberate about using this word, internally we want to be obsessed about growing categories, right? We want to be obsessed about making sure that we're driving category expansion and growing the pie. Look, are we interested in winning share from other competition? Of course, it's a ticket to the dance, but ultimately, if I and we as an organisation cross-functionally focus on expanding the pie, growing categories, everybody prospers. So that's our starting point. What we bring to the table needs to expand categories. When we think about the on-premise, and I saw some data when I first started, and I remember this from my old world in Diageo, is that a lot of on-premise bar owners, club owners, hotel owners, typically we see that they've got 2 to 3 nights, maximum three, where they're operating at full capacity or above 75%. So actually what that tells us is that 3 to 4, maybe 5 nights a week, they're underutilized. So they've got big assets, not running at full capacity, they've got fixed overheads. So we're thinking about how do we actually play a role, and frankly the industry, a lot of our competitors should be playing a role in this space, on how we focus on getting more footfall into venues. Because if we can, you know, if a venue doesn't have a Monday night and we can bring an event to a Monday night that earns the customer's commute to get them off the lounge and into a bar or into a restaurant, that's just creating a new occasion. And that's what we're excited about. And that's one thing I've asked our marketing teams to think about as they bring new initiatives to the table. How is this initiative driving footfall and expanding categories? Because that's when we think we can be a real true partner for our customers.
If you look at lifestyle in Europe, a lot of that event creation is at times dictated or at least governed by seasons, summer, winter, cultural festivals, cultural traditional days, whatever it might be. Is that an area you might be looking at? Are seasonal events more of a opportunity to grow in that field that you want to tap into more?
I think it's both, Peter. I think number one is there is, if you know, if the teams are working through joint business plans or looking at a marketing calendar, they're going, well, there's all these big events. There's Christmas, there's New Year's, there's Australia Day, there's Easter, there's this, there's that. All events where typically people are out there socialising. And whether that's with alcohol or not, they're out there socialising. So we talk about it as how do we amplify those? How do we make those bigger? Because they already exist, and how do we add more value during those for consumers, but also for our customers? But then there's the element of how do we create new ones? So how do we create a new night by bringing consumers in another time? And that could be through comedy, it could be through incremental music nights, it could be through the creation of a trivia night, or all of the above. And the reason we believe we can play a role, and I know many others can as well, but we believe that if we focus in on this and that the industry gets behind it, we will all prosper. And so if we focus our resources on being truly customer-centric, truly trying to be an integrated part of their business, say, I'm trying to work for you to try and bring more people into your venue, and collectively we'll all prosper. What we're talking about is just let's do the work that actually motivates people to go into a venue for a new night, consume responsibly, have a great night, go home safely, and create one more night for our customers that's expanded the category. And it's as simple as that. And that's one of the things that we're embarking on that journey into the future.
You spoke about turning a good company, CUB, into a great company.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Well, look, first and foremost, I genuinely say this from the heart, you know, and hopefully as you know, I get out there, I do call it as it is. And in this instance, I'm genuinely so happy to have joined this business. It's such a great team across leadership, across, you know, working for Robert Iavasi, who's the CEO for Oceania, for Asahi. The board are really supportive. We've got great people on the ground. So when I think about turning a good good company into a great company, it's multifaceted. And what I mean by that, I think I start with the people. And how do we get our people to love CUB? Like, love it and be absolutely passionate about turning up every day. And that's a job we've got to, that's a job we've got to create as leaders. And I talk about, I use the analogy of, you know, the Olympic sport where you throw, what's it called?
Discus?
Yeah, no, where they roll the pin down the ice and there's a guy who's scrubbing out the front.
Ice hockey? Hockey?
Curling, sorry. Apologies. The guy, the curling sport. And there's a guy with a brush. And that guy's job is to remove the obstacles and the little things that are going to get in the way of the curling mechanism to get close to its target. I use the example from a leadership perspective as how we as leaders change the game and simplify the business, drive less complexity, and actually get stuff out of our way for our people to make it more easy for them to do a great job for our business, for our consumers and our customers. So that's one thing. Secondly, I think about if I double down on business, I think we've got a great opportunity to look at innovation in a different way. We're a multi-beverage company. We do everything from, you know, no alcohol products and waters right through to Pepsi Max, Gatorade, right through to Schweppes, Solo, and then into our alcohol portfolio, which is all our great beers, our classic beers, our craft beers, RTD. So we're thinking about innovation in a very different way and how we can show up for our customers in a way where our portfolio adds value. And even from a supply chain footprint, we've got a supply chain footprint that's fit for purpose today. But with our colleagues in supply chain, we're thinking about what does our supply chain footprint need to look like tomorrow. So when I say good to great, it really is taking an organisation that's got great momentum, great customer relationships, a portfolio that's going really well, and that we don't become complacent and take it to the next level across all facets of the business.
You touched on it just a moment ago, the 0% or non-alcoholic market. What's the trend in that market from a CUB perspective? It's obviously growing. And there's a growing trend. There's a bigger and growing appetite for it for a range of reasons. But where do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd start at through Robert's leadership in the whole broader Asahi business. I'd argue we're already in no alcohol products with ALB, right? Our non-alcohol business. And so we play in this way, in this space in a very big way already. So the occasions are there. What we've just done is really listen to what consumers have said. And they've said, I'd love to be in alcohol associated occasions where both alcohol and non-alcohol are part of that occasion. But actually, I don't want the alcohol. And so we've brought the zero alcohol to our portfolio. Great Northern's, you know, up there. Leading growth. We've got Peroni, we've got Carlton Zero, all doing really well. But if I just zoom out for a sec, we're a multi-beverage business that has the ability to play in many, many occasions. That's our starting point. But if I zoom out, zero alcohol is about health and wellness. And again, if we're listening to our consumers and we're understanding the macro trends, health and wellness is a very important part of the way a portfolio needs to show up. So we're thinking about zero alcohol, we're thinking about lower sugar, less sugar, no sugar, carbs, calories, because if you think about it in a supermarket environment, Peter, you go into a Woolworths, a Coles or an IGA, there are dedicated aisles to health and wellness. You can go down there and you know that when you're in that aisle, you're going to get something that's got a better for you element to it.
Yes.
I think our opportunity and then through our liquor stores is an opportunity to create that in our stores, because at the moment you would walk in and you'd see beer's got something over there and cider's got something over there and then there's zero sugar RTDs. You know, the way we think about it is how do we make it easy for our shoppers to make better choices and choices that if they choose are important for them? How do we bring a portfolio to life that's bigger than just zero alcohol, but it actually touches on many facets. It sits under the health and wellness umbrella.
Yeah, no, too true. I think many listening to this right now would more than agree with you. Before we wrap things up, Danny, you've also been quoted as wanting to boost the membership of women in the CUB leadership group. Is there a specific number in mind?
Oh, look, at the moment, our leadership team consists of 40% women.
Yep.
I'd love to say, can we get it up from that? We will get it up from that. I think just as long as I and the broader leadership team stay focused on getting the right people for the right role and creating an environment where women can thrive and reach their full potential, I think we will move the numbers in the right direction. The good thing, it's just not hot air. We're really serious right. about it. You know, we just got a new general manager for marketing, another woman who replaced a man. She was just the right person for the right role at the right time, and we prioritised it, and I think we've got a gun in that role now. She's yep. fantastic. And so, look, is there a specific number? I'd say there is, and that number is to grow our female representation across the whole business. And I know it starts from the top, from Robert, and all the way through our functions. We will continue to do that every day, everywhere.
So we're not looking at quotas or anything. It's like you said, it's the right person, the right fit for the job. It's irrespective of whether it's a man or a woman.
No, look, absolutely. You want the right people in the right roles, right? But I think if we can get it to a place where we're seeing female representation grow in leadership roles, but across the whole organisation, that's a great thing. Is there a number? I'd love to be going for 50%, like an equal situation, up from 40. But I think, you know, just as long as we stay focused on doing the right thing, and that's allowing women to reach their full potential in our organisation and making sure there's an environment where everybody can thrive and have true diversity in the business, I think we will move that number in the right way. And we've already made a huge amount of headway in this space, and we'll continue to do so because we care. I mean, I'm a father. I've got a daughter. I want to create an environment where I've been part of a movement in business that's created an environment where women can thrive. And I want that for my daughter. I want it for my daughter's friends, and I want it in our business. And now, and I do know it does start from the top. It starts from Robert across our whole board. And I'm playing a role in this, and I will actively drive it personally.
Yeah, I think you've got a lot of support there because no matter man or woman, there's a range of skills that either can bring to the table. So
absolutely.
I hear you loud and clear. You've been spending a few days in Perth. It's been a while since you've been here last, being beautifully driven and escorted by your state manager, Danny Savage, who's brought you in today. So we thank you for that. It's been a few years since you were last here. What are your impressions, not only the fact that it's been nice sunny weather, so how's Perth changed since you last visited?
Mate, not just because I'm here talking to you and I've got Danny Savage, the top dog, beside me. I absolutely love Perth. I love everything it offers. I think it's beautiful weather. You've got great coastline. You've got great vineyards.
Best beaches.
Yeah, we've got some good beaches across. We're actually, Australia's really lucky. We've got beautiful beaches across the whole
country. Oh, very diplomatic, Mr. Chelaney. Well done. Well done.
No, but look, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a business environment where businesses have the opportunity to thrive. And, you know, we're just really lucky to have a whole bunch of great customers in on and off premise here. We want to show up and continue to show up in the way our customers need us to. And hopefully this is the first of many now that the borders have opened for me and for our teams to get together and really think about how we can, again, you know, take a really good organisation in Perth to a great organisation. I think I'm lucky to have leadership like Danny Savage beside me here and his team, because we're all aligned on one mission, and that's to create value, expand categories, and be truly indispensable partners for our customers.
All right, Danny, well, appreciate you stopping by the studios here, the LSAs, and joining us on Unpackage, and we hope to see you back here soon, and no doubt Danny will keep you in the loop as to what we're doing over here, but we hope to also see you at our 70th anniversary celebrations in October, so hopefully you can get back over that one. But between now and then, thanks for stopping by.
Peter, thank you. And look, I love the work you guys do. I think it's a fantastic vehicle to bring great insights, information to the marketplace. We're a supporter, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity and our business the opportunity just to, you know, spread a little bit of our thinking across into your platform. So thanks very much for all you do as well.
You're welcome, and we appreciate that. And look, we're here to help, and we're here to help the industry grow. So we'll see you soon.
Fantastic. Thank you.